think everybody. No, I didn't. How are you doing?
This is different. This is a meeting I'm just in, yeah.
You got it. Yeah. I think you have the digital form.
Okay.
Is
this an
actual? Yeah, go ahead.
Is that what that does? Can I?
Yeah, the mayor has special powers. Right?
Ooh, there's somebody around here who could synchronize the lights. Like,
yeah. Oh.
So that the mayor can't have special powers. Yeah.
We'll have the on-off switch.
It is interesting how that question I get if I say I work for CBAG or whatever. That's a very common the signal synchronization question. I probably hear more than most others.
I got to tell you, for 15, 18 years, how many I've driven darn near every day from Palm Springs to Palm Desert, back and forth. During that period of time, my drive time has dropped 5-6 minutes.
Dropped.
Is that it is? I mean, it used to be Cathedral City.
Because of the signals.
Because of the synchronization.
I thought you were just driving faster.
Well, it can't get faster. To say I'm an aggressive driver, sure. But yeah, the synchronization and the traffic has increased over the years, and seasonally, whether it's in season or out, it's that much faster than it used to be. So
soon you'll be able to bike over here.
I
forgot there's a city.
Oh, yeah.
You can still do it.
You just risk your life in certain
area.
It's also a city that will not sign on to our synchronization plan.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because as soon as you synchronize the lights, somebody might use that to get on to ride their bike to. It was a bizarre argument. It did not make sense. It did not make sense.
I'm going to write a book.
Confessions out.
All my plan to synchronize probably on.
This is the Desert Cities Energy Partnership Board Meeting, January 22nd, 2018. Getting ready just to begin.
We're all part of this cast of characters.
How you doing?
Thanks, Terry.
How are you?
I'm good. I always make sure I don't stand in Ranch and Mirage.
We're just talking about that.
Yeah.
We've got eyes on you.
That's
right. Okay, I think we're ready to call the order. So let us call the order at 2:34. See, you were only 4 minutes.
I know.
Not bad.
We forgot to Palm Desert, I thought there.
We were just talking about light synchronization. Do we have a roll call?
Palm Springs.
Present.
Cathedral City.
Present.
Palm Desert. Here.
And of course. Okay. Everyone's here. Are there any public comments? Seeing no public comments, we'll move on to board member and director comments. Seeing
you know what? I have a quick question.
Yes.
Was the article in the paper about Ranch Mirage accurate, semi-accurate? I mean, the headline implied that they just formed their own CCA, which we know is not accurate. I mean, they just joined another one, but are they ahead of us in terms of they got in before the December 8th deadline or whatever? So
they are. They are.
Okay.
And the paper did indicate that they're joining with Lancaster. So
yeah, Yeah, I think it was mostly the headline that implied like their state of the art just formed up. Yay!
And they're supposed to start May 1st, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So that part was accurate. Thank you.
The article, I think, was a very positive one for the city's efforts. Perhaps some of the newspaper. I'm sorry.
Well, the KMIR did a story on it. I don't know whether you saw that, but they interviewed, I think, five people, and four of them were very concerned. Yeah. So.
Ranch Mirage residents?
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
One of them didn't believe the government should be doing anything, so that's not
the government isn't doing anything.
You know, I don't know.
What's the Wi-Fi time? I've never
heard of it. That's from Palm Desert. It's
C-Bank Palm Desert. Palm Desert.
Palm Desert, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let us go on to the approval of the minutes of December 4th. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
And a second. There you go. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion approved.
Aye.
Thank you. That takes us to our discussion on action items, and Tom's going to start with an update on our projects.
Yeah, it's curious how much has happened, frankly, and not in the way we wished since the last board meeting. Instead of focusing our efforts entirely on the implementation plan and getting started with work through TA and gearing up for a July 1st date, we've been scrambling this past month because of a proposed rule by the PUC to delay approval of CCAs and implementation plans. This board approved its implementation plan on December 4th, and the PUC, without any prior warning or notice, on December 8th issued a proposed rule that says if you don't have an implementation plan in by December 8th, essentially you're going to be delayed at least 6 months, if not a year. The proposed rule is going to be heard on February 8th, and the way the rule works is for those CCAs like ours that did submit before the end of the calendar year, we could get started January 1st of next year, 2019. For CCAs, or proposed CCAs even, that submit after January 1st, it's essentially a two-year delay. They couldn't get started. So we feel bad. We certainly could have actually submitted our implementation plan on December 4th, minutes after the board approval. We made the mistake of conferring with Edison just out of courtesy, and look what it got us. We did submit our implementation plan on December 11th. We believe we have, even if the rule moved forward, we believe we have a pretty unique circumstance that the implementation plan had been done, and we have been working with Edison for months, some ways a year.
More than a year.
And they certainly, Edison was well aware of our schedule and our load types. So particularly our chairman and Katie, but including me, have spent a fair amount of time with, I think now all of the PUC commissioners.
One more tomorrow, but right.
Staff. So we've been doing our part in lobbying the staff with the PUC and the five commissioners, as well as spending a little bit of time with Edison and our colleagues who have very similar circumstances in L.A. L.A. County is poised to perhaps be the largest CCA in the state. They've signed 23 cities up, and they've got similar circumstances to ours. They actually got in ahead of the December date with three of their members, the county and three cities. And were poised to put together an implementation plan that amended their CCA with 20 more members, I guess, probably 20 plus more members, and are in the same holding pattern as us now. Not sure exactly when the start date would be. PUC staff has advised us to just proceed under the old rules, in which we've done. We've submitted the implementation plan. Edison just today passed along their comments on our implementation plan, and notably the tone of their comments and focus is very different today than it probably would have been a couple months ago. And I suspect you're going to see these sorts of comments come in for all of the CCAs. What they're essentially saying is, they have a couple of technical questions about greenhouse gases and our rate structure, but what they're essentially saying is, hey, there's a proposed rule. The PUC ought to, and DCE ought to essentially follow or adhere to the proposed rule process rather than the old process. So we haven't completely digested that, but my guess is we will have a common front with particularly LA and Western Riverside Council of Governments. You might remember that we did the procurement, and Jeff is painfully well aware of this, with our friends at WRCOG, just to give you a little update on their efforts. They haven't actually officially started yet. They've had a challenge, as we all know, it's a challenge communicating to all these city councils about what a CCA is and what are the benefits and what are the risks and the like. WRCOG hasn't gotten to, I don't think anybody signed up yet. They do expect to have a couple, perhaps in Southwestern Riverside County, by April. So we have been engaged in a fairly extensive lobbying effort. In fact, just an hour ago, right, Chairman? That's the extent of that report. One other, you see there's a recommended action item. Yvonne Parks couldn't be here today, but we just suggest Desert Hot Springs does seem to be engaged and interested. Maybe now, unfortunately, if the proposed rule comes in, might even be further behind, because once we amend to include Desert Hot Springs, they would be on this additional year-ahead schedule. So it could be as much as 2 years from today. With that in mind, staff would recommend that you appoint Yvonne Parks as your ex officio member. We want to keep them actively involved. And that's the end of my report. I'm sure the chairman and Katie have things to add, perhaps with respect to your discussions with PUC staff or the commissioners.
I would probably say that while we've expressed our understanding with respect to the PUC's responsibility for resource adequacy, we have expressed particular concern with the resolution which they're planning on voting on February. It was originally January, but they moved it to February to at least provide more stakeholder input, which we thought was good, and to give us a chance to respond to Southern California Edison's response letter as well. But we have been arguing that we voted on December 4th to approve our implementation plan, and we could have submitted the plan in time for their deadline of December 8th if they had told us there was a deadline of December 8th, which they didn't tell us until December 8th, and then we submitted it as soon as we could thereafter, which was the following Monday on December 11th. So we're hoping that somewhere down the line we're going to get them to consider us as actually having submitted in time for their deadline. But we'll have another conversation tomorrow.
And, you know, the surprise wasn't just to the CCA community. Notably, and this, I think, will really work to our advantage, the California Energy Commission, as well as the independent system operator, were shocked by the PUC staff. This is a PUC staff proposed rule, and they weren't terribly pleased by the surprise because, again, there are a number of entities statewide that geared up for the transformation in the energy market from the IOUs increasingly into this a CCA procurement of power world. So, and I think that'll be good for us to have those potential partners at the hearing as well, expressing concerns, or if not at the hearing, they certainly have expressed those concerns. So that's any questions?
We have some questions. So this is, you just said this is a proposed rule from staff. So if the PUC were to act on it February 8th and approve the recommendation of staff, they would formally be implementing a deadline retroactively.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes. And that's, you can imagine, our concerns about due process just seems ridiculous, and the time and effort and energy. And one of the things that the chairman communicated, and I tried to do so on your behalf, is the role local government and our politics plays here. And you've gone out to your constituents and said, we're going to get this thing started. in July. And one of the things you've heard from our consultant team is reliability and certainty are going to be one of the most important things for this body to be considering starting out of the gate by missing your deadline by 6 or 7 or 8 months is not the way to start the organization.
Is there a mechanism other than legal action to challenge the validity of a retroactive deadline, and particularly in our circumstances where we could have submitted had we known?
I suppose Jeff or others, we have a legal action that's certainly been contemplated by LA, but first things first, we have to go through the administrative process, and we will certainly work that as much as we possibly can. If I was a betting man, I bet they change at least the date. Just because it's on the face of it how unfair to due process it is.
Yes, two questions. One, I think in the report you mentioned reaching out to sort of our local legislators. Mm-hmm. Has that happened, or is there more that we can do there?
We have. Yes, there is more. It depends on how much influence they have. We met with Assemblyman Mays and Garcia on Friday. They were in the district, so Katie and I spent a little bit of time with both of them explaining the issue and asked for their support. Their support of the PUC may not be that powerful. Support of our efforts with the PUC may not be that powerful. Maybe more importantly is legislation. We believe that there'll be another run this year to have a CCA bill out there that might not be in our best interest or the interest of other CCAs. Having the two of them well informed of our efforts, including reaching out to labor, which is a concern in Sacramento, certainly.
My other question is, has anyone done a Public Records Act request about communications with utilities and things before this went in place?
Not to my knowledge.
There's been a lot of conversation about where this came from and who knew.
might be something worth considering.
Yeah, we could ask the CalCCA, which is the association.
Ben, if you could make a note of that.
That might help. Or persuade.
It might.
Good point.
We did meet, I met with Edison in the context of an LA County CCA meeting with Edison a couple weeks ago, and Edison indicated they had nothing to do with the rule, but they certainly support it.
Is there anything that any of the individual member cities can do to support your effort?
And I think we have reached out to once in an email, and maybe we should do there's time to perhaps put something, a support letter of some sort, on your councils to add to the records, public records, or the testimony on February 8th.
Do you have a draft support letter you can send me? Because I can add it as a...
Yeah.
That just came up kind of letter, I think,
okay.
Wednesday.
Because
we did Wednesday.
I can get that for you.
Okay, thanks.
I think it would be sufficient to get some more of this down.
The hearing's February 8th.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we could, but we could add it to our agenda for Thursday.
On Thursday. Just,
do you get that?
Do you need to see it first, or is that, can you go by that? Sorry, to get into the weeds on our process.
We don't have to go to the committee.
It doesn't have to, okay. Yeah.
We'll put it under request from council for action if you want. But we need it before Thursday's
okay,
council.
Okay, I can get that to you, probably by the end of the day.
Great, thank you.
Do we have a motion to consider appointing Yvonne or District Conference Representative as an ex officio?
So how would we do it as a
point?
That's it. Motion.
That's it.
Okay, so moved. I don't know if we were doing one person or the or really a representative.
You could certainly indicate a representative. The proposed motion is to add Desert Hot Springs as an ex officio member to this board.
Correct.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Next.
Okay, let's go on to item B, which is actually the majority of the materials in the agenda, the agreement with the Energy Authority consultant team to provide CCA implementation, wholesale power procurement, and associated technical operating services.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This staff report, as you've seen, is to bring on officially the consultant team, including Jeff Fuller here from TEA, as our team to help us implement the program. And TEA would be the lead on the contract, so what you have in the agenda packet is a resource management agreement with them, and then five different task orders that are for the various aspects of this implementation and operations process. Two of those task orders are specifically focused on the activities that TEA would conduct, and we've talked about that a fair bit in the past, so I wasn't going to go into great detail to let you ask questions that you might have. The third task order is with Calpine, which is the firm that will be providing data management customer service. In fact, next week on Monday, we have a meeting with Southern California Edison and Calpine and Jeff and his team to basically kick off our efforts with Edison and the moving forward process that we're doing on the advice of the CPUC. And that will focus for a fair bit on the data management side. There's testing that has to be done to make sure all the customer accounts are accurate and all of the coordination and transfer that takes place that Calpine handles is accurate. So we'll be talking with Edison next week about that process, and that will be part of the involvement of Calpine. Just as a note, Calpine does provide the same service to almost all of the existing community choice agencies. They've been working with Marin County since they started. So they have, and you know, I speak to Southern California Edison, they say, oh yeah, we know the folks there at Calpine, so there's a good hit the ground running aspect to that. Task four involves lean energy. You met Sean Marshall at an earlier meeting. She was here to talk about some of our goal setting. Lean will be working with us to provide some overall policy support, helping us with some of the just sort of overall coordination of our effort. This particular task order is where our marketing activities come in as well, and there was a brief summary in the task order of that. We, as your staff report identified, we asked basically for the marketing team to hold off until we know where we're going on the CPUC issue, but they have already been at work designing the logo, getting the web page up to speed. And so that is a combined contract with Green Ideals, which has worked with a number of CCAs, and then our local firm, Burke Riggs. This also includes the potential for us to work with Brown Blasing Smith Wynn, which is a firm that has a lot of experience with community choice. We already have a contract with Best Best and Krieger. They are helping us with the PCIA exit fee and actually have been writing the letters on the CPUC resolution. This portion would be kind of on an as-needed basis. If we need specific expertise from Blasing, we could call on them for that purpose. The final task is with MRW, which is a firm that has also a lot of experience in this arena, and one of our requirements is to prepare an integrated resource plan, which we would then submit to the CPUC, and so under this task, the MRW folks would work with DEA, Jeff and his team, to take a look at our load forecast and the market conditions and provide that report. And that needs to be done, I think, on a every other year basis.
You need to verify that.
That would be an ongoing task that would need to be accomplished. So we appreciate there's a lot of legal documents here to take a look at. These contracts we've been working on with Jeff's team for a couple of months. They have been reviewed by Mike Jenkins, our legal counsel. There are, I should say, as identified in your staff report, we'd like to have you authorize Tom in consultation with the chair. There are a couple of issues as we were reviewing these last week that we'd like to resolve. One of those has to do with the term of the overall contract, which is 5 years, and the terms of the individual task orders. And we'd like to have some flexibility on those terms for some of the tasks, like the marketing, that won't necessarily be ongoing. And we're just realizing there was a few places where that could be adjusted slightly. So that would be something where if you were agreeable, we would ask that you authorize that some minor non-substantive changes of that nature could be made. And then there's a few typos and those sorts of things that we came across. So I also want to just give you a quick summary. The chart up on the screen shows you the overall costs that we're looking at. And this is actually an overall estimate of the operating costs that we'd be looking at. At the last meeting, Don Dame went over sort of a projection of the various places that the funds for the program go. So this shows you the items shown in green are those elements that are under TEA. Then following that, the data interchange billing and call center is with Calpine. That's actually billed on a customer per customer basis, and they will be the ones that will work with us on sending out those opt-out letters that we need to submit to potential customers. Regulatory, that actually is based on that BB Brown Blasing estimate, and that's really on an as-needed basis. Customer relations and marketing would be another category. Legal support, and then some of the other estimates we've included would regard the estimated cost for CVAG's cost and the deferral of costs because TEA is not charging us up front, and likewise CVAG would be asking for reimbursement. So it gives you an overall idea. And then, Ben, if you could flip to the next. This one was something that Don Dame put together, and we thought this was very helpful. Last time we were talking a fair bit about where does Desert Community Energy fit in terms of the overall load with respect to the other community choice programs in the state. So before we look at the dollar numbers, if you looked at the yellow one is Desert Community Energy. Thank you. And what that identifies is the number of accounts for Marin Clean Energy, Lancaster, Apple Valley, and the various community choice programs. The last one on the right is Valley Clean Energy, which is in the Davis area, that is just getting ready to launch. So you can see that while our customer numbers are actually the number of accounts and the load puts us, if we were to rank those, it puts us right about in the middle of the community choice programs that are out there. And then we entered the operating cost estimates based on these contracts, and that gives you an idea of how we compare with respect to others. Now, I should note, this does not include the power cost, so that would be another. This is just looking at the operating cost, but last time we talked about...
What are load costs? That says load and operating costs. Or is it just...
Oh, I just put... So CCA load... Because it also showed the comparison of the megawatt hours that we would be using. I'm sorry.
It's operating load and operating cost.
That's right.
Two separate items.
Yes.
Which one is the operating costs down there?
The.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is.
There
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The title is a little confusing, Mayor Jonathan. The megawatt hour sales shows the amount of electricity we'd be using for the three cities compared to the other community choice programs in the state. And that is just used to then calculate the per megawatt hour cost, which is the bottom row.
Okay. And then the annual cost per account, that's the operating cost average.
Per customer account.
Per year?
Yeah.
And then some of the costs are being incurred already, like BB&K and so forth. Is CVAG advancing those and will then bill once we start having revenues or the initial funding? Okay.
I believe at your last meeting you authorized an agreement between DCE and CVAG for reimbursement of those direct cost. Yeah. And note, depending on what happens, particularly on February 8th, we'll need to develop a budget for you for the next fiscal year, and particularly your background, Mr. Jonathan, maybe spend a little time, because we did talk about having you sit down and look at how we allocate costs across now three JPAs. We do allocate costs to the Conservation Commission, that will use the same methodology for DCE. So it's a direct cost of, I'm sitting here working on DCE. Theoretically, I went right on my timesheet. and somebody does, thankfully. And that'll end up in a master spreadsheet, and those costs are distributed along with the overhead cost as a percentage. If 10% of our staff time is on DCE, you take 10% of the extremely high cost of this building. Please.
It's beautiful.
The chairs. We did.
Chairs.
You know, no.
I hope everyone appreciates the new chair.
Yeah. But it would be, I think it would be a useful, and we could certainly do it with the entire board, so you get a little sense of how we do that internally. And you would be subject, unless you decide to do otherwise, we would have our auditor run your books, just like we do the other two organizations, as a way to save some money.
So, we'd be happy to answer any questions. Jeff's here as well if you have questions for him.
And just one I mentioned to the chairman before, I mean, this is a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And in a field that I'm certainly not an expert in, and not many here can claim to be other than Jeff. And Katie's certainly becoming one. Maybe the chairman is too. We did, on this, in terms of the substance of this, we relied pretty substantially on Don Dave, who's been a real good resource and an independent contractor who has a little game other than reducing his retirement time and making a few dollars on this, I suppose. But Don, and one reason we've gone through this exercise of comparing what everybody else is doing, just want to make sure that we're doing the right thing, we're within a competitive environment. We have a lot of confidence in Jeff and TEA. I mentioned to the chairman, just as a reminder to all of you, it is a nonprofit. Doesn't mean that they can't overcharge, because nonprofits do overcharge. But we've been very pleased with the consultant team already, and we appreciate them kind of working on their own dime so far. And once we get operational, we plan on paying people back as quickly as possible. Importantly, what I do want is that's a lot of material. We put this on here for your action today, but if you want another 30 days, you can certainly take that, or you can certainly move forward, allow us to make some adjustments, and if we do make any adjustments, we can certainly notify you at the next meeting what those adjustments were.
I would be fine with that. I do have a question, though, that's kind of directly or indirectly related. So initially, there was a push to move forward quickly to take advantage of lower energy costs. What this delay, whether it's a month or a year or whatever, how does that impact those costs? Are we losing an advantage here?
I think that it's a great question. I mean, the market's always moving, so you may gain, you may lose. I mean, really, the downside to it is you lose out on uncertainty. Yeah. I mean, it's just pushing it further out into the future. The other thing is, and I forget the number off the top of my head, probably the biggest cost, so I think there was about 3.78 million of projected reserves that would be accumulated. And again, that's, you know, to establish a rainy day fund, to build creditworthiness, to go out and be able to buy and build resources long term. You'll never get that back. I mean, so that probably is really the single biggest risk or lost opportunity right there. But and then there's also, you know, the PCIA risk that's out there as well, but everybody's been aware of that, and that really has not changed by this. Really, it's that 3.8 million net lost opportunity.
I think the other piece of that is that if we get delayed from starting on July 1st versus January 1st, because we are such a heavy load user during the summer months, that our residents and our businesses, if they're going to see any savings, aren't going to see it during that period of time. So that's the political component of it.
Okay. I would just want to note, actually, just because you asked the question, Mayor Jonathan, when we've had the conversations with CPUC staff, that's been the main question they ask, is what is the financial, what's the impact to local communities, and in particular, what's the financial impact? So Jeff put together an estimate, which we could share with you by email if you'd like.
Okay.
I'd be interested in seeing that, if it's already put together.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And we may even want to, because we've gotten that question every time from that staff, I think we want to focus perhaps your letters on that very issue of political components, climate-related components, low-income-related components.
That'd be great.
You are probably painfully well aware, there's a belief out there that Palm Springs and all of our communities are ridiculously wealthy. And I think they need to understand that there is a different picture here in each of your communities than the perception sometimes in San Francisco. Yeah. So we'll weave that into each of your letters to some degree.
Yeah. Weave in that, 87 to 89% of the kids in the school districts are on reduced or free meals.
Yeah.
So it's really the families, our low-income families, who are really impacted.
That's
so.
Right. And summer's a tough time for
and a lot of them have their children at home, and so it's a really tough time on utilities for them.
That's a great way, I appreciate that, great way to make the point that we're not in one stroke a wealthy community,
right.
That there is that component. Yeah. And what a great way to illustrate the point. And we have similar data in our city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of your schools are in our Southern East Split.
What's that?
The Palm Desert split in two school districts, right?
Mm-hmm. In theory, Palm Springs owns some property for a future school, but they don't have a presence here yet in terms of an actual school. And maybe they never will.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different world.
So one thing on the contract, which I did read...
We have a lawyer.
And it's actually, it's on page 19 to 21 on the contract, which is 26 of the staff report. It's equal opportunity employment language, which doesn't really, it's not similar to California's in the categories. And so I was thinking maybe the easiest way to do it, because I think we all may have slightly different versions in our cities. And maybe we, on the next, I can try and pull some language for the future, but is there something that... the public contracting non-discrimination requirements set forth in California Government Code Section 12990 and Section 10295.35 of the Public Contract Code for the state will apply to this contract. So we're just following the state contracting non-discrimination laws as a way to... Because I know we have what immigration status in, which I don't think is in the state, and I don't know if anyone else has in. So until we come up with what we want, maybe that's a bigger CDOT question to discuss.
I doubt our legal counsel would have any issue with that and presuming...
Following state code.
Yeah.
I just thought that was an easier way than following what is... Yeah. There are terms that the state doesn't use anymore. It's leaving out a bunch.
Jeff, is that okay with...
Yeah, I'm not our attorney, but...
Well, if there's some issue, I'll follow up.
I don't think there will be,
but
just can't be on it.
I thought that was the easiest way.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. And I can send the I can send you those sections.
Right.
Those two sections.
Any other issues?
No. That was really excellent.
Thank you.
Do we want to... You need a motion that authorizes CBAG seal along with the committee chair to work together to work out any non-significant corrections.
Recommendation.
It is in the staff report. You could even move the staff recommendation, which includes that.
Right. So moved.
Thank you.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Passed unanimously. Okay, item C, authorize the executive director to negotiate and sign agreements to address the resource adequacy capacity. Katie?
This is, as Tom described earlier, there have been some conversations and potential for us to work with Southern California Edison. In fact, in the comment letters we've submitted, we've made the suggestion, as have most of the other CCAs, that this be a solution that they look at for purchase of resource adequacy. It turns out, and we have just a quick kind of a timeline, and Jeff provided this from their team. With the implementation schedule that we are working on now, the time frame once we submit our implementation plan to the CPUC is 3 months before they certify it. So if we assume by March 12th that has occurred, we have some various registration aspects. There's a CPUC bond that needs to be submitted and a service agreement with Edison that we're working on now. And essentially, by March 17th, we'd be in a position, with DEA's help, to provide a load forecast that could be submitted. That actually goes, Jeff, to the
CEC,
the California Energy Commission. And that is then used by the CPUC to identify what resource adequacy, which is purchased separately from electricity, would be needed. Provide the initial load forecast actually goes in, there's a kind of an April period, and that would give us the potential to essentially meet the conditions that that the CPUC has outlined in terms of schedule, because we have a load projection that would allow us to determine that and could then procure the necessary resource adequacy by May, June. And then that all gets trued up in August, there's a true-up period where that all gets adjusted, but we'd then be covering the July through December time period. And we did actually have, that was a question that we were asked today by the CPUC staff. So the idea here is just really to authorize Tom to negotiate and to discuss with Edison the potential for that happening if they're willing to consider that option.
Regardless of their letter.
Yeah, this is in part. This in part might help us negotiate a deal with Edison that allows us to move forward in July. So, resource adequacy, and we're all learning, and this is something that is essentially 150% of our load that is required of Edison as well as CCAs. Edison has purchased the RA for those customers. During that first year, there's kind of this true-up process, and Edison's complaining that it's not quite fair. And there's a simple solution, that's buy the RA that they purchased for those customers from Edison in that first year period. This could enable, the PUC very well could modify the proposed rule on February 8th and just deal with this issue in that first year period. And this would allow us to fulfill that requirement, potential requirement with Edison, in addition to doing the things that were outlined in that series of steps. Does that make sense? Kind of, sort of.
I'm wondering, is DCE a load-serving entity?
It will be.
And so when the background indicates that we need to commit to making electric generators available for dispatch and so forth, is that what it looks like? I mean, are we supposed to buy generators?
Can I jump in on this one? So when you purchase resource adequacy capacity, what you're doing, and DCE will do this as a load-serving entity, all load-serving entities have this obligation, you are buying capacity from steel in the ground, from a real generator out there. Your obligation, though, stops in purchasing the amount of capacity that the PUC tells you to go buy.
Okay.
And then each day, each month, what ends up happening is those generators have to offer that generation into the CAISO market so that they then have that obligation.
Okay.
And each month they basically say, these load-serving entities we've contracted with to provide this capacity, and the load-serving entities are doing a similar submittal.
So, I'm sorry, my simple mind, what's basically going on here? Is it that Edison, if they need more energy, they can go to these CCAs and say, you've purchased it, so now make it available to us? Is it another outlet for energy for them?
Apologize for getting in the weeds, but it's hard not to. So this resource adequacy is actually an annual planning process. And what happens is in April of each year, so let's say April of 2017, load-serving entities, including the IOUs, were submitting their load forecast for calendar year 18. And then in August of 2017, they revised those load forecasts again for calendar year 2018. Based off of that August load forecast, the PUC then went to each of the load-serving entities and gave them an order to buy so much capacity. Because DCE was not a load-serving entity at that time, it didn't get an RA capacity obligation. And so the load that DCE will be serving, Edison had that obligation to go procure that and did, in fact, presumably procure that capacity. and the issue comes in, and so that now DC launching mid-year, Edison's saying, hey, we bought that capacity, but you will end up, DC will end up having a capacity obligation. And Edison says, well, now we've got a stranded asset at this point. And the rub is that contracts that are 1 year and less do not make their way into the PCIA calculation. Any RA that Edison has purchased longer than a year, that's actually is flowing into the PCIA. So they're saying we've got this stranded cost where you're not holding to the indifference obligation. And so by just stepping in and buying what they bought, Edison takes that argument away.
You want to pick up from there, because obviously there's this whole conversation about the PCIA and how much that's going to cost, but they've also put forth a new methodology, which we know is called PAM, which they would like the CPUC to authorize and approve. And so this all ties together, just so. And by state law, it's actually illegal for them to charge, for them to strand some of those costs to charge to existing customers when the CCA pulls resources out of their responsibility. So this is the conversation.
It's crazy.
Yes. And complicated.
It is. With big dollars at stake.
Yes.
Lots of zeros. Yeah. So you have a staff recommendation, and we may or may not utilize it before your next meeting, but it does give us some flexibility in discussions with Edison.
So,
second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Unanimously approved. Going on to D. This is to authorize a startup funding agreement with Calpine Energy Solutions. Calpine will, in fact, be providing us with initial funding to get the operations off the ground, and therefore we actually need an agreement with them.
And yeah, kind of big picture on all this. We mentioned, obviously, Katie described the entire consultant team. We've essentially put a lot of them on hold, or told them, wait a little bit before we do particular marketing work and outreach-related work. We don't want to incur a lot of direct costs until we know what the game plan is with the PUC. That said, we will have direct costs, and as you know, Calpine has offered somewhat favorable terms to loan us money up to $500,000 at a 5% interest rate. We've had a conversation here about making that an opportunity available to even member cities. If member cities wanted to loan the organization money instead of Calpine or in addition to Calpine, we have not done a cash flow projection because I'm really not sure when the start date is at this stage, but we'll be doing that. And I mentioned to the chairman, I'm very interested in either CVAG or the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission offering DCE funds at the same rate or even slightly less. In either case, it would be a lot more than we're currently making on CVAC dollars at this stage. But to the degree, you know, your cities want to do the same thing or you have other suggestions on hard money loans, let us know it. Let me know or let us know in a future board meeting. But this would allow us to kind of cement that deal with Calpine and have the cash available to keep the process moving forward. And right now, I don't think, remind me, on CVAC's incurred costs, I don't think we're charging, I think we might be charging the LAFE rate or something for that. Are we charging?
Are we charging
between
DCE
interest
rate
and CVAC?
Yeah. I think, I'm not sure if we've incorporated that, but
yeah,
that would
probably
be.
I don't think we did. I think
it's
just.
Think so.
I
LAFE is what, about 1.2
so.
At this point?
I didn't know it was that high, but
yeah, I think it's that's
normal.
It
just took a little bit.
Yeah. So you've got a staff recommendation, and this has been a part. It's actually one of the things that appealed to us about the team when the procurement process was going on. The TEA Calpine team understood that they are negotiating with entities that don't exist yet. And so this was one way for them to offer the services, not just to us, but to WR Cog and others.
The proposed motion is simply to sign the agreement which provides for up to $500,000 in funding. So if CVAG or one of these other entities wants to jump in, then that's consistent with the proposed motion.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it your turn?
I'll move.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Do you have an address?
Do we want to send a separate letter to, for example, the city managers of the few cities and see if they might be...
I can send it to the council. I can just send an email out to the other two.
That takes us to item 7, which is just information, and the board meeting schedule. Any issues or questions on the board meeting schedule?
We settled that we're recommending the third Monday generally.
We wanted to check that with everyone to see if that works. We moved these two this month and next month because of the Monday holiday. That was to help us avoid the executive committee day.
I'll miss the March one, but I'll be able to come, and that's fine.
There are only three of you.
We'd
have nobody to make a motion. Something.
Well, no, I have an alternate.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, we could. You know.
But if it works, yeah, I'm just out of town that week.
All right.
I could do it the week before.
Who's your alternate?
Lisa. So, but I'm fine missing that one.
Okay.
So our next meeting is
February 26th
at 2:30. Is that correct?
Oh, wait, that sounds.
Why is that?
It'll be the 19th. Right? Oh, President's Day. So we move it a whole. We move that week.
Right.
And we're on it. Yeah, we're on at 2:30.
Yep. Okay. I'm just checking July, but I'm in the same. Vote as you. I have an alternate, so if I because we go into summer hiatus after our July 4th. After 4th. So the 16th, I don't know, I might be here.
This would be interesting for your alternates to get up to speed.
She's ahead of me, so that's not
that's right.
Another one of these attorney types.
Yeah, trouble everywhere.
Yeah, that's on the books. Okay. Anything else before we adjourn?
Okay.
We've got a couple follow-up items today and tomorrow. You'll be getting some material from us.
Great.
So we'll cross our fingers with respect to the February 8th and
February 8th.
We will have representatives for CalCCA, paid representatives up there advocating on our behalf.
Yeah. You know, I do want to take a very brief moment just to recognize and thank our chairman for all the work that he has put in on this committee. Thanks for that.
I think Jeff read more of the legal document than I did.
All thankful.
I skimmed a lot of the...
I figured a lawyer reviewed it, but I tried it. If the lawyers reviewed it, you know the
Okay, thanks everyone.